This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I, Brandon Johnson, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Illinois, that I will faithfully discharge the duties, the office of Mayor, City of Chicago, according to the best of my abilities.
Sir, you are installed.
My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of people, too. People who smile at you, and each time I roam, Chicago is calling me home. Clown, it's my kind of town.
Oh yeah, good old Chicago. Not quite what Frank Sinatra had in mind. Big Ed Poole pulled that one on me, knowing that I'm from Chicago. He just wants to, yeah, I don't know. What does he want to do? He wants to have a good laugh, because poor old Chicago. So Brandon Johnston has taken over as the mayor of the city. Are we going from bad to worse with him, I wonder? He apparently is supposed to be even more liberal than Lori Lightfoot, if that is at all possible. And I have heard him try to defend all of these people that when running downtown and, what was it, rampaging, rioting, and the like, saying that, well, you know, times are tough for them. Well, you don't go rampaging down the middle of the town trying to destroy things because you feel times are tough. That's not the way you do things. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. That's how you get over all of that stuff. You allow the free markets and freedom and personal responsibility to take over. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, who's not from Chicago. He wouldn't have played that. What we got to do is we got to play something. I think he's from like the Long Island area.
Ha! Well, I wasn't picking on your Chicago.
Yes, you were.
I was making him feel welcome.
Oh, I see.
Because, you know, now that he's married, he's going to hear those sounds a lot more, more frequently.
You may be right about that. Anyway, thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, May the 17th. In a few minutes, Darren Bast of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us. We're going to talk about what he calls the EPA's efforts to illegally shut down a whole bunch of power plants with some stupid regulations. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis comes to the aid of Texas in its fight to secure the border. We're going to tell you what Ron is doing and what he is sending to them. So stay tuned for that. And an IRS whistleblower's entire team has been removed from the Hunter Biden probe in what the team is calling an illegal retaliation for speaking the truth. We're going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. Ed, I want to find out how many of these movies you saw. These are the, according to Rotten Tomatoes, the top 10 worst movies of all time. So we will do that towards the end of the show. In the meantime, lots going on. President Biden and top congressional leaders have expressed optimism, supposedly, about the negotiations over the debt ceiling after a meeting yesterday, as the administration's, I guess you could call them allies, worry that the talks with the House Republicans is going to make them forced to actually cut a bunch of programs. That's, oh, heaven forbid that they have to cut some programs. I mean, we're only $32 trillion in debt. Why in God's name do we need to cut any programs? House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has sounded confident that an agreement could be reached ahead of a June 1st deadline to raise the nation's borrowing limit or risk a shutdown. Now, I'm not so much against the shutdown because they don't really shut the government down. They let a bunch of people go that they don't really need as absolutely essential workers at the moment, you're still going to get your welfare checks. You're still going to get your Social Security checks, despite what they say. But Biden has kind of agreed with McCarthy that things are on a good track, although major differences apparently remain. White House officials also said Biden would be cutting a visit to Asia short as they seek to finalize this debt ceiling agreement. Well, that's too bad. I wonder what he would do when he would go over to Asia. Would he get a truckload of money from those guys in China and stuff it on his plane and take it back home to Hunter? By the way, I wonder if he'll take Hunter with him on his trip to Asia. Lord. So let's see here. Biden said, quote, "We are going to continue to make progress toward avoiding default." And he called what's been going on so far a good productive meeting. That's interesting. Didn't he say he wasn't going to negotiate at all? He wasn't going to cut nothing? I ain't going to do no stinking cuts. We're not going to cut nothing. Yeah, well, I think they will be cutting a bunch of things, so that's probably good news. All right. Have you been following the Durham report? Finally, after all those years, he released that report. And the establishment media is being accused of journalistic negligence after rushing to dismiss John Durham's report. A report that reiterated one of its beloved talking points, that the Trump campaign coordinated with Russia to influence the 2016 presidential election, that report was bogus. Bogus. John Durham said that was a bunch of BS. So if you turn on CNN or MSNBC or any of those liberal networks, first of all, they barely talk. They don't want to talk about it. But they're all stuck with egg on their face. If you go back and listen, who was that? Adam Schiff? He was on every liberal network saying that Trump had colluded with Russia and that he had proof. Yeah, he had proof. Where is that guy now? Why doesn't he make the rounds now with a mea culpa and say, well, you know, apparently I was wrong?
And these people that lied, how come they're not held accountable?
Exactly. You know, that's the thing. Even in Washington, if you're on the right side of an issue, even if you do something that should be sending you to court, you never go there. Nothing ever happens to you. Whatever happened to Hillary Clinton for copying all of those classified documents, slapping it onto a private email server, and then it ended up in the hands of that nut, that secretary of hers, sent it over to her, and then it ended up on the secretary's husband, who was at the time a congressman, and who's getting in all kinds of sexual things going. Mm-hmm. Remember all of that?
Yeah.
Did anything happen to Hillary?
Nope.
No. Nothing. So anyway.
Well, that's why they brought up the Russian thing, was to deflect
the Hillary Clinton private basement server.
They were trying to deflect it all onto Trump.
They wouldn't even put her under oath. They wouldn't depose her for any of that.
The thing that bothers me,
James Comey, the FBI director, who Trump fired once he became president.
We keep hearing that, we're going to prove this wrong, and then they do. But you don't ever hear anybody say, well, gee, we're sorry we got that wrong.
I haven't heard anybody.
It's just like, well, now let's move on to the next one.
No, they're actually doubling down. They're calling the Durham report a nothing burger.
Yeah, I saw that.
A nothing burger. In other words, when he tells you that whole Trump-Russia conspiracy was a lie, you're calling it and certainly it was influencing what people thought of Donald Trump. And it carried over towards the election with Biden, all of that stuff. They had Trump, collaborating with all kinds of people overseas. Anyway, let's do this. We're going to take our break, And when we come back, we are going to be talking with Darren Best of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about what Darren says is the EPA's efforts to illegally shut down a whole lot of power plants.
Honey, honey, you are my candy girl.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ain't it good to...
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday. We thank you so very much for being with us. Hope you're happy wherever you are. Delighted to have Darren Bass join us. He is Deputy Director of the Center for Energy and Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and together with some of his colleagues, has penned a report about Joe Biden's EPA power plant emissions rule. And he talks about how the agency is proposing to shut down a bunch of power plants and abuse its regulatory power in so doing. Darren, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you. This is one of these things. Does this go along with the gas stove crackdown and all of these other crazy things that the administration is trying to do? First of all, do they have the legal power to start playing around with these power plants that way? Or does that belong in the hands of the Congress?
Well, as a practical matter, it should be in the hands of Congress, certainly. You have issues of this magnitude. These are questions that should be addressed by elected officials, not agency bureaucrats. Unfortunately, the agency bureaucrats, though, don't necessarily respect that perspective, I guess, and are trying to develop these kind of standards for power plants that they know or can't be met. So it's basically... effectively saying to coal plants and natural gas plants, either comply with certain standards or shut down. And that's exactly what will likely happen for many of the plants.
And now you say that Biden's EPA has released a new proposed rule mandating power plants reduce emissions drastically. And in your report, you compare it, unfavorably to the 2015 Clean Power Plan during the Obama administration. And the Supreme Court ruled that unconstitutional, correct?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, there was the Obama Clean Power Plan in 2015. The Supreme Court did shoot that rule down. This rule works a little bit differently, but the objective is still the same. Ultimately, the EPA is trying to change the energy mix, how we generate electricity in this country. The EPA is not an expert in electricity generation. They haven't been given the authority to be the grid manager for the nation. But what they're doing is they're trying to kind of play that role, and that's basically the same exact thing that they're doing here. It may look a little bit different how they're going about doing it, but they're trying to achieve the same objective. This new rule will face all kinds of legal problems as well. But I think just practically, the reality is that the administration is trying to kill off reliable and affordable energy sources like natural gas and coal. And then, unfortunately, at the same time, what they're doing is they're trying to force everything. They're trying to electrify everything, like the stoves that you mentioned. Instead of having natural gas stoves, everything should be electric. Instead of being able to just drive your car, that the cars that we know and love, we're going to they're trying to force everybody to basically buy an EV, which may be way too expensive for most people, or simply just don't drive. So they're trying to electrify everything at the same time they're putting pressure on the electricity grid where we're not going to be able to produce enough electricity. So it's a double whammy for Americans.
I mean, don't they understand that we are not prepared or ready to make conversions like some of these green the green constituency or whatever it is want us to do? I mean, they want to shut down you know, the oil drilling, and we're just not ready to do that. The free market will arrive at these things on its own, because when they see a profit potential in it, and when they see that the public prefers that we have, say, cleaner running machinery, and that there is a way to harness it and do it, we're going to do it. But like you say, these are bureaucrats in the EPA. They don't know anything about creating these kinds of, you know, that kind of an environment. And they just want to put the kibosh on what we're doing right now.
Well, yeah, I think that there's kind of a feeling that it doesn't matter, that a lot of these policies are developed in almost in a vacuum where they're not looking at the trade-offs of pushing certain policies or certain energy sources, that their goal is simply we want everybody in EVs, or we simply don't, we want to get rid of all fossil fuels and reliable energy sources. And if that means higher energy prices and grid reliability problems and cost to American families, those trade-offs are not something that's in their equation, because they got such a singular focus on going after these energy sources that that's all that matters. And it's this kind of excessive focus, this extreme climate agenda that this is all about, that the climate agenda just simply does not take into account any of these other costs. And unfortunately for Americans, that means less reliable electricity. When you flip the switch, you may not have the light come on. The costs are going to be much greater, and what will happen is it's going to have a disproportionate impact on low-income Americans as well, because they spend a greater share of their money on like energy sources and meeting basic needs.
I mean, can't the Democrats see what's going on by stifling our energy supply, the cost of gasoline, the cost of heating this past winter? They're going to remember that when they go to the polls. And, you know, if we still have these high gasoline prices at that point, yeah, the president of Competitive Enterprise Institute was one of the people that was involved in the piece that you put out. Kent Lastman said that the technology girding Biden's response to what's going on right now is not even available. I mean, don't they understand that they can't just take away what we're doing right now if we don't have something to legitimately replace it?
You know, do I think? I think plenty of them do. I'm not sure how much some of them are caring.
Yeah.
It's just hard for me to get into their heads. I'm not sure I really want to get into those heads. But yeah,
no, I don't want to get into their heads either.
But you're right. It's very hard for me to understand why you place. I mean, this is a big problem with extreme environmentalism anyway, is there's just a complete disregard for the impact on humans and practical things that are happening today. Mm-hmm. There's no reason not to be concerned about the environment. Of course, we should be concerned about environmental issues, but there are trade-offs. And part of that is, first of all, if you can't technologically achieve something, then don't push it. We're not in dreamland here. We're trying to live in the real world. And the real world is a scenario where, guess what, dreams can come true if you just allow individuals and Americans to innovate and come up with new solutions, as opposed to the government trying to centrally plan stuff, where in that scenario, dreams don't come true.
Exactly. We're talking with Darren Bast. He is the deputy director of the Center for Energy and Environment. Newly placed there, I think. Darren, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. For the great Competitive Enterprise Institute. One of the things you said in this report is that Congress can help stop this nonsense by not funding it. Not a single penny of taxpayer money, you say, should go to funding the development of this proposed rule.
That's exactly right. I think that we can't just sit back and allow, and Congress shouldn't just sit back and allow the kind of agency to move forward and then complain about the rule. Or what they could do, what they'll do is they'll pass, which is, hopefully they'll do this, is at, when it's a final rule, they'll pass what's called a Congressional Review Act resolution that would disapprove the rule. The problem is that the Biden administration, President Biden, will veto that resolution. So it won't get anywhere. So what you need to do is we need to just kill this rule before it even goes anywhere. And that you do that through the spending process, through appropriations. You withhold funding for the agency as relates to the formulation and the development of the rule. So kill it now. And, you know, there's other issues, too, that are going on. I'm sure a lot of people are paying attention to the debt ceiling fight and, you know, all the Inflation Reduction Act subsidies that have been going towards trying to push and essentially plan how energy is developed in this country and used in this country and how you live your lives. It's really important that these subsidies and these other credits or whatever that are trying to essentially plan energy mix are, there's pushback against it, because the Inflation Reduction Act, not a single Republican voted for in this House or Senate voted for the bill. It was shoved through Congress, and quite honestly, it's a disastrous bill, and there has to be some type of pushback right now against not only this particular rule that we're talking about, but also the subsidies and bad policies in the Inflation Reduction Act.
So where are we in the enactment of the rule?
We're in the very early stages, actually. The rule has been proposed. It has been put on the EPA website, and it has not been published what it was called in the Federal Register. Once it gets published in this document, the Federal Register, there's a 60-day notice, a 60-day comment period. So the public can submit comments to the Environmental Protection Agency and tell them what they think, and I hope people will submit comments.
Yeah, I would hope so, too. And then once the comments are submitted, what does the EPA do? Does it go back and sit down and look at the comments, supposedly, and then come up with their ruling? And if they were to go ahead with what they want to do, I would hope that there would be some sort of legal action that would be taken in the courts that might want to examine it and see whether or not the EPA really has the authority to enact it.
Yeah, what will happen is exactly as you described it. There'll be the comment period. The agency will take some time to review the comments and they'll have to respond. The timing of when the final rule will get published is unclear. It'll be probably sometime next year. Hopefully Congress can do something. But if the rule does go forward and does get finalized, then I would expect that there would be a lawsuit right away. And there will be litigation. And then you see what happens in the next election. So maybe it even becomes a moot point, because depending on what happens in the next election.
Right. In other words, might be able to hold off until the election occurs before they can enact something like this. I think people, as I say, they're looking at their bills. They're looking at the cost of gasoline. And they're going, boy, there's something going on here that we don't need to do. And maybe we're going to wake up and we're going to realize that, we have the ability in this country to manage with our own resources our energy production. And if you just let the free market do its magic, I think things are going to be great. But anyway, Darren, thank you so very much for being with us. Once again, kudos to becoming the Deputy Director of the Center for Energy and Environment at CEI.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, sir. Hope to talk with you again.
Take care.
All right. Darren Bast of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. All righty. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about an IRS whistleblower's entire staff being removed from the Hunter Biden probe in what they are calling an illegal retaliation.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is Marine Wildlife Artist and Conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works on a Wednesday. Thank you for being with us. We were just talking about this whole fiasco, I guess you could say, with the EPA and its rules to govern power plants. In the meantime, just reading on the wire here that the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee have canceled a vote to advance Biden's nominee to oversee energy efficiency regulations. And you know why? Because Joe Manchin, good old Joe, who might be a Republican in Democratic clothing, I don't know, he's the committee chairman, he pulled an agenda item to consider Biden's nomination of this guy to lead the Department of Energy. The guy's name is Jeff Mnuchin, and he's pulled the guy's nomination from a scheduled panel meeting discussion today. Here's what Manchin says. While I supported Mr. Mnuchin's nomination in December, since then the office he's been nominated to has proposed stove efficiency rules that I've raised concerns about. So much for that guy for a while, huh? All right, now, you know the whistleblower that came forward from the IRS about Hunter Biden? You know he's supposed to be protected. There's an actual rule, supposedly, that protects you so that you can come forward as a whistleblower and not face retaliation, right? Attorneys for an IRS whistleblower says the whistleblower's entire team has been removed from the Hunter Biden probe, and the team is accusing the government of illegal retaliation. They sent a letter to the House and the Senate Judiciary Committee about all of this. The whistleblower's attorney told Congress that the removal was on the order of the Department of Justice. Well, it sure sounds fishy to me when you remove the entire team from the Hunter Biden probe. What do you think, Ed? You've got a smile on your face.
Every time I hear the word whistleblower, I just laugh because somebody had put a photo on Facebook of Bill Clinton smiling, and underneath it said, at least everybody knew who my whistleblower was.
Yes,
every
indeed.
Time I hear the word whistleblower, I just keep thinking of that photo.
You're a funny man. And a little perverted, to be honest. All right. Well, so the attorney for this whistleblower says the Internal Revenue Service the IRS criminal supervisory special agent that we represent, the guy that was the whistleblower, was informed that he is and his entire investigative team are being removed from the ongoing and sensitive investigation of the high-profile controversial subject about which our client sought to make whistleblower disclosures to Congress. He was informed the change was at the request of the Department of Justice. Now, whistleblower protections are enshrined in federal statute. The protocol is for a whistleblower first to go to their immediate supervisor or the one in charge with the issue at hand. If the whistleblower thinks that reaching out to a supervisor could jeopardize his well-being or that the supervisor would be implicated in any potential misconduct, the whistleblower could go directly to the inspector general of their agency. From there, the inspector general can communicate to Congress when appropriate. So, says here, in this case, one of the disclosures the IRS whistleblower made was to the U.S. Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. See, that's where I think they're going to get Hunter Biden. They're going to get on a tax charge.
Well,
he's not, you know, it's just the same way they got Al Capone. They got Al Capone for not paying his taxes. And I think they might get Hunter Biden on that one.
We say whistleblower. Does it automatically give credibility to that person? I mean,
no, not necessarily. But if he's got, you know, this is a guy that's.
Well, whenever
this guy has, apparently, from what we understand, we don't know the name, has credibility based on what he's, where his position.
Right. But I'm saying whenever it's.
It's not some crackpot off
somebody,
the street.
Somebody, a whistleblower on Hunter Biden, we hear, oh, it's nothing. It's not a credible person. Yet we got a whistleblower for Trump on a phone call.
Right.
You know, this person is
right.
In witness protection and all that kind right. of stuff, or, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that guy.
So there's a chain of command that yes. you're supposed to use. You don't just grab the girl out of the lunchroom or the guy in the lunchroom
no.
and stick him in front of Congress because they heard a
no,
phone call.
No, but this guy was trying to go through the correct protocol.
Okay.
And apparently, because of what they do,
right?
They had access to information, and they wanted to bring it to the attention of people that could do something about it, as far as Hunter Biden was concerned.
Then you worry about your supervisor just sweeping it under the rug, you know?
Well, that's right. That's why there's a protocol that you can go around your supervisor if you feel that that's the case. Anyway, Congress got wind of it, and I wonder if they're going to force the Department of Justice to allow these people to continue to stay on the probe. We'll see where all of that goes, right? Okay. Governor Ron DeSantis, he announced yesterday that he is deploying resources, including law enforcement and drones, from state agencies to Texas to help them with the ongoing migrant crisis, saying that his state is ready to help Texas in its efforts to secure the border. So away he goes. You know, he's been doing stuff like that, kind of taking the bull by the horns, you might say. Now, they have cut back, apparently. Texas, because of the involvement of the state of Texas, they've been able to cut back on the number of illegal immigrants that have been crossing the Texas border.
So you say they're monitoring it correctly now?
Well, they're reducing the number of people flowing across.
Well,
to me, that sounds like it's a good thing.
Isn't that the end game there?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we were doing until.
Yep. So here's what DeSantis says. At my direction, state agencies, including law enforcement and the Florida National Guard, are being deployed to Texas with assets including personnel, boats, and planes. He says, while Biden ignores the crisis he created, Florida stands ready to help Texas respond to this crisis. Do you think that he's doing this because he's running for president? Or do you think he would be doing it even if he wasn't running for president?
It doesn't hurt, put it that way.
No, it sure doesn't. So, of course, there's going to be lots of people that say, why don't you leave Texas alone? You're the governor of Florida. None of your business. You got all kinds of problems here. I want my home insurance rates lowered.
That's probably in the Times today.
I'm probably quoting from somebody in the Times in their letters
to 2 days a week.
Letters to the editor. let's see here. Yep. Now, the Texas Department of Public Safety wrote in response, we welcome the support from the state of Florida as they will provide additional law enforcement resources to help combat criminal activity and interdict deadly narcotics. Let's see.
you know, this whole thing, them coming across the border, once they're over here, it doesn't stop. The mayhem doesn't stop. I mean, housing these people. And I don't know
Look what's going on in New York now. They're kicking veterans out of a place.
Did I see that right?
They kicked them out of a hotel they were staying at.
They're kidding.
So they could slide the illegals into the
kicking
hotel.
Kicking homeless vets out so you can put illegal aliens. And I'm not calling them migrants. They're not here to work. They're here illegally, period.
Right. Yeah, and they also are taking over gymnasiums and schools in Brooklyn. People are upset their kids are being affected. The mayor is also sending a bunch of these people that have shown up in New York City to suburbs. So there's all kinds of... So all of a sudden, all of these so-called sanctuary cities like New York and Chicago and San Francisco and L.A. and all of that kind of thing, they're kind of getting, all right, you're a sanctuary city, here you go, right?
We're not talking about 50 people here.
No, we're talking about thousands.
Thousands of people.
Talking about thousands.
And if you don't think the border's a problem, then why are they having such a problem finding housing for that many people?
That's right. Yeah. So I'll say one thing about DeSantis. He's not afraid to lead with his chin, you know? He takes on some of these things.
Yeah.
You know, I never did find out, last time we spoke with our buddy Andrew the Master Barber, he mentioned that the Florida legislature has passed a law that allows the governor to stay governor as he runs for president. I haven't been able to find out, but I think he may be right. But I hadn't read anything about that. Ed, do you recall whether or not you read anything on
I don't think anything passed. Maybe
I didn't either.
Maybe he proposed it. I don't know.
I mean, wouldn't we have known about it? Because we keep our eyes open.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about that. If anybody knows, for sure.
Andrew, I mean, I'm of the belief if you're leaving one job, you leave it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're running for a higher job, then you leave the one that you're at.
There is talk that the legislature would convene and pass a rule that would allow him to stay as governor. But up until recently, the rule is that you have to resign.
Now, can he appoint somebody? If he resigns, he can appoint somebody.
Well, what about the lieutenant governor?
That's what I was thinking.
I think if he resigns intentionally, the lieutenant governor becomes the governor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how that works. I don't think he can just, I'm going, and I'm going to, you know. No, I think there got to be a process for that.
Well, that would be the next step to probably to tip his hat or tip his cards or whatever that he's running for president. If you see the lieutenant governor kind of shadowing him everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't that a woman?
Yes.
She's kind of,
I don't know.
Do you think she's kind of over there in the corner, kind of rubbing her hands together, can't wait to become the governor kind of a thing?
Checking her keys, see which ones fit.
Measuring the drapes?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Could be. All right. Why don't we take our final break? When we come back, among other things, we're going to look at a Gallup poll that talks about how depression and depression rates have reached new highs.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It is Wednesday. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. And we're delighted that you have an opportunity to hear us. But if you can't listen to us live, Big Ed puts all of our shows on podcast, bless him. And all you have to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button at the very top. And it opens up, and there you will see all of our shows. They'll be in chronological order, most recent at the top. And Ed's got who the guest is and the topic with the guest and our top 10, which we do at the end of the show. Everything you need, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, this is not surprising. Gallup's got a new poll on depression. And it says the percentage of U.S. adults who report having been diagnosed with depression at some point in their life has reached 29%. That's nearly 10 percentage points higher than 2015. The percentage of Americans who currently are being treated for depression has increased to almost 18%, and that's up about 7 points over the same period. Now, both rates are the highest recorded by Gallup since it began measuring depression using certain data starting in 2015. Well, I'm not surprised to hear that, the way things are going in this country. And, you know, people that want more government involvement rather than those of us that would want less, especially federal, central government planning, less of that, people that want more of that, I think they tend to be more depressed. I think the more that we get a socialistic environment in our lives, I don't think it makes us feel better. I think it makes us feel worse. And that might be contributing to the overall rise in depression. Certainly, the way things are going in your life, if they're not going well economically, it's going to affect you. I think that has a lot to do with it. The most recent results were run from late February, are based on a little over 5,000 U.S. adults that were surveyed as part of the Gallup panel. Let's see here. And the respondents were asked, has a doctor or a nurse ever told you that you have depression? And do you currently have or are you currently being treated for depression? Over one-third of women, 37%, now report having been diagnosed with depression at some point in their life. That's a large number, isn't it? Compared with about 20% of men. And their rate has risen at nearly twice the rate of men since 2017. So women are experiencing a lot higher depression rates than are men. So I thought we were supposedly, with all of these rules that we're trying to pass, supporting equal rights, et cetera, and, you know, all of these things going on, that women would be happier. Apparently that is not the case. Women and adults aged 18 to 29 have the highest rate of current depression. So the younger people have it higher. I guess the older you get, the less depressed you become. Ed, have you become less depressed the older you get? More depressed, or have you stayed about the same? Maybe you've never been depressed. It's not my business, but I'm just curious.
You know, it comes and goes. I mean, that's life, though, right?
Yeah.
But there's some people that that's true. Can't get out of it. I mean,
some people, you know, but some people are clinically or whatever you call it, chronically depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got it going on. I've had bouts of depression.
Sure, everybody
I absolutely have had it, especially when I was younger. But I do think there's something to be said that the older you get, you mellow out a little bit. Maybe you're just experienced in the bumps along the road, you know, and you take them with a little bit more of a, I don't know, a sense of calmness.
I mean, I got depressed one day last week because I figured out I was so old I had to buy myself a pill box. You know, Monday,
yeah,
Tuesday,
I do
Wednesday,
know those
Thursday,
things.
Friday,
sure. So that you remember which pills
and then,
to take.
And then I leave the door open because I take it in the middle of the night, leave the door open, so I remind myself in the morning that I already took it.
Yeah, you got to do that. Well, I do things like that.
Leave the lid open.
I do things like that all the time. You got to put something somewhere to remind you to do something. I do that all the time. I remember some guy that was a so-called memory expert. He could be introduced to 20 people in a room, and then he would go back and remember their names. You know, he said, you want to remember something for sure? He said, just take a plastic wastebasket, throw it in the middle of the room on the floor. And whatever it is you're trying to remember, you'll remember. As long as you have it in a conspicuous place, that wastebasket.
Yeah.
So that's all you got to do.
Hmm.
One more quick story before we get to, I want to find out how our beloved Rays are doing, but Elon Musk has defended himself against allegations that he was anti-Semitic because he criticized George Soros, the socialist billionaire, and called him out for funding pet prosecutors that do the minimum against violent criminals. Musk said, this is freedom of speech. He said, if anything, I'm pro-Semite. Apparently, he was being interviewed on CNBC when he was talking about that. He also refused to back down after he said that Soros hates humanity, and Soros wants to erode the very fabric of civilization. So, hey, bully for Elon Musk.
You know how that goes away? Don't do any more interviews with MSNBC.
Yeah, you probably don't.
They just twist everything around to their own likings.
Well, but you got to admit that he pretty much came out and dissed Soros.
Yeah.
You know? And he's not backing down from it. So there you go. All right. So before we get to our top 10, and it's a good one, the top 10 worst movies, according to Rotten Tomatoes, that were ever made. And I want to see how many Ed saw. Our Rays continued to do well. They were playing they're having a series up in New York with the Mets, one of the highest paid... The highest paid franchise in Major League Baseball. So how are they doing?
Well, the $350 million payroll got waxed by the $68 million payroll.
Wow, what a difference.
8-5 last night.
Oh, that's so nice.
So they will play three games up there, and then they're going to head home.
And the $66 million payroll has a much better record than the $300-plus million payroll.
33-11 or something like that.
Aha.
So it's still five games better than any... They've got five games better than any team in the league either conference.
That's wonderful. So they're maintaining.
Yes.
Good.
But they're not... they're still not getting the notoriety. They're really not. Whenever you turn on... Well, nobody watches SportsCenter anymore, but MLB or something, Major League Baseball Channel, they're talking about the Yankees and... You know, it's just.
Do you think it's because? Be honest. It's because it's a smaller franchise town.
I think it's a conspiracy.
They don't like Tampa Bay.
They don't like Tampa Bay because what it's doing to the market.
Oh, that's a shame.
Because they're not paying $30 million for a player. They're not worth it. Nobody is worth $30 million. I don't care. Unless the guy can guarantee me every time he goes to bat he's going to hit a home run, that might be worth $30
million. I don't think it's worth it even then. But, that's
but
just
me. To a guy that at best hits 30% of the time, that's considered great?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the days when baseball players had to have second jobs.
Sure.
Because they didn't get paid that much. Okay. It is time for our top 10, and this is a good one, Ed. These are your Rotten Tomatoes top 10 worst movies of all time. All of them got zero ratings, needless to say, from Rotten Tomatoes. You ready? I want to find out each movie if you've seen it. All right, here we go. Number 10. Dark Crimes with Jim Carrey, 2016. Do you remember that movie?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Well, that's probably because it was so rotten.
Wow. Okay.
All right. I know nothing about it. Number 9. I've heard of this one. Jaws 4, The Revenge.
Yes, I believe that. The acting in that was really rough.
It was bad. It was out in 1987. The only thing that came from this film was a bloodier shark attack. Bloodier shark attacks as a great white targets. It's smart enough to target an entire family no matter where it goes.
Yeah, in the Bahamas.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
All right. Number 8. The Last Days of American Crime. Ever heard of that one?
Nope.
Came out in 2020. Two men and a woman planned the heist of the century before a government broadcast signal wipes out crime forever. That all it takes?
There you go.
Number 7. Gold Diggers, 2003. Ever heard of that one?
Nope.
The film stars Will Friedle as Calvin and Chris Owen as Leonard, two losers who hatch a plan to marry a pair of elderly rich sisters. Calvin and Leonard believe that they will inherit the sisters' wealth upon their eventual death, but the sisters have a different plan. All right. Number 6. Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2. You ever heard of that?
No. Uh-uh.
2004. A group of brilliant toddlers join forces to battle an evil man. John Voight plays the evil man. He must have been hard up at the time. Uh-huh. As a media mogul who is determined to alter the minds of children. Wow, that's exciting. Number 5. Pinocchio. Not the one we remember from Walt Disney. This is the 2002 version. In this version, Pinocchio is a creepy old man to begin with, so it is troubling that anybody thought about bringing Pinocchio to life was a good idea. In fact, Pinocchio, the character himself, is the director, Roberto Benigni, who is who directed and played that role himself. Yuck. Number 4. Now, I heard of this, and I don't think I saw the whole thing. I saw parts of it. Gotti.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah, okay. With John Travolta.
Yes, it is. John Travolta, 2018.
It was okay.
How it is possible to butcher a story about John Gotti's life this much? Gotti is one of the worst mob movies you will ever watch. John Travolta plays the infamous gangster, and you will never be able to forget it. Okay. Number 3. A Thousand Words? No. 2012. Okay. A Thousand Words? Eddie Murphy. Dictated, his lifespan dictated by a tree's life. Okay, number 2. One Missed Call, 2008. Handful of people notice they've received voicemail, but the voice is their own voice. Okay, and finally, number 1.
I'm going to go with Waterworld, but I've never seen it.
I haven't either, but it's Ballistic. X versus Sever, S-E-V-E-R. Shockingly bad considering it stars Antonio Banderas and Lucy Liu. They are an FBI agent and a rogue DIA agent, and it's just about as boring as it can be. So there you go. All right, thanks so much. We will be back on Friday. Be careful out there, and remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
And a happy Wednesday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast. Not as hot today, a high of only 84 degrees, but the humidity starting to creep its way back in. Overnight low tonight, 72, just a slight chance of rain, maybe later this evening. Tomorrow's high at 83 degrees and about a 20% chance of rain. Sunset this evening is at 8:15 p.m. Now, here's the latest of CBS News.
Is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.